ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
When the pilot is just a little off on his ability to fly, of course you wouldn't. And yet, we have no problem with pastors. Oh, you know what? You know, we'll just, you know, eat the meat and throw out the bones. A lot of times there's no meat there. It's all bones. And it's destructive. Let me show you how destructive it is and how positive it can be. Two opposing pictures, and they're pretty dramatic. This person's writing had read of Henrietta Mears. She built up her Sunday school to unheard of proportions in the 1940s and 50s, 4,000 people. And it's out of that, this is what this person wrote. He said, thumbing through her biography, I mentally contrasted it with the chilling experience I had in 1978 when my issue of Time magazine fell open to a series of pictures recording the life and death of another teacher, Jim Jones. The photographer similarly chronicled Jones's life, his camp of disciples, his triumphs, and his end, the rotting bodies of hundreds of people in the infamous Jonestown Massacre, an unforgettable testimony of the influence of a teacher for evil. You see how his influence with the people destroyed their lives. He was a little bit off. He goes on, teachers wield incredible power. Young or untaught minds in the hands of a skilled teacher are like clay in a potter's hands. Such a teacher is closely watched by his or her students, and often the teacher's attitudes and personal morals have as much influence as the information conveyed, perhaps more. Casual advice from a teacher can direct the course of one's whole life. Phrases such as, "Have you considered the theater?" or "I think you would make an excellent doctor," often propel young lives into one career or another. We must realize what power teachers have at crucial times in tender lives to crush the bloom or make it eternally flower. Wow, contrast Jim Jones with Henrietta Mears. She was blessing people. He was destroying lives. Wow. Was he using the Bible? Absolutely. In fact, when Jim Jones started, he was a good teacher of the Bible. And then he started getting off, and no one corrected him. And he started getting farther off. And then he went in hiding, right? With his group of followers. And then he killed them all. That's how dangerous it is. When opinions outweigh the Word of God, guys, there is tremendous, tremendous, tremendous danger. You stick to the Word of God. It's not open for your interpretation or my interpretation. It's not open to what I think it's saying. God says what he means and means what he says. It doesn't matter if we like it or not. We need to obey it. You know, Peter warned us what the last days will be like. In fact, Jesus did. He said it's going to be a time of great deception. In fact, Peter picked up on it. 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of the truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. There's the warning. And I don't think people are listening. Again, they have no problem with false teaching. You know, I've heard people say, oh, but, you know, they got a really good children's ministry. So, you really think that a church that is really bringing in false teaching, what are they giving to the children? Just because they have a lot of jungle gyms and activities doesn't mean it's good. I'll tell you what, our Sunday school program is small, But I'll tell you what, those teachers are awesome in how they teach these kids. They learn about God. They're challenged, even at the young age. That's what it's about. Do they have fun? Absolutely, but they have fun learning about God. We need to be careful. Look at verse 2 here in James chapter 3. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. James is talking about a perfect man. He's talking about a mature man. And what flows from his mouth should be good things. It shouldn't cause people to stumble. It shouldn't cause us to hinder our spiritual growth. And if we can control what comes out of our mouth, we're able to bridle the whole body, he says. We need to let the Holy Spirit control our lips, our tongue, what we say. And James is going to speak how destructive the tongue is. And it absolutely is. One pastor put this verse, and leading into what we're going to talk about next, the tongue or our speech, like this. He says, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. To not stumble in word shows true spiritual maturity. This is especially relevant to teachers who have so much more opportunity to sin with their tongue. We stumble in word about ourselves with our boasting, exaggeration, and selective reporting. And we stumble in word about others with our criticism, gossip, slander, cruelty, two-facedness, and anger, or with flattery and insincere words meant to gain favor. Yeah. And again, this is a tough portion of Scripture, but again, I think it's an important one. God wants us to examine our hearts, and he always does as we come before him. Look at verse 3 in James chapter 3. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Wow. You know, I don't think we often think about the words we say and the destruction it can bring. But, you know, you look at history, look at our own lives, and we see, yeah, our words can build up or they can tear down. They can be destructive. Warren Wiersbe put it like this. He said, a judge speaks some words and a guilty prisoner is taken to a cell on death row. A gossip makes a phone call and a reputation is blemished or perhaps ruined. A cynical professor makes a snide remark in a lecture, and a student's faith is destroyed. Never underestimate the power of words. For every word in Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, 125 people died in World War II. Solomon was right. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. No wonder James compared the tongue to destroying fire, a dangerous beast, and a deadly poison. Speech is a matter of life or death. Isn't that amazing? Every word in Hitler's book, 125 people died. That blows me away when you look at that. And James here is just giving us some illustrations showing us about the tongue, and even though it's small, how powerful and how destructive it could be. But it doesn't have to be. It could build up. And again, the whole idea here is to grow in the Lord. You know, some years ago, there was a sports writer for the Atlanta Journal, Morgan Blake. And listen to what he wrote. This is really interesting. It's satire, but it speaks volumes. I am more deadly than the screaming shell from the howitzer. I win without killing. I tear down homes, break hearts, and wreck lives. I travel on the wings of the wind. No innocence is strong enough to intimidate me. No purity pure enough to daunt me. I have no regard for truth, no respect for justice, no mercy for the defenseless. My victims are as numerous as the sands of the sea and often as innocent. I never forget and seldom forgive. My name is Gossip. Wow, how true that is. You know, there's a story happened years ago about a guy who was over a youth group. And the youth group was flourishing. It was growing. It was just an awesome God ordained group. And one day he was driving, it was a night, and his car broke down. And so he needed to make a phone call. This was before cell phones. And he went into a movie theater. And someone from the church saw him. And playing in that movie theater was an X-rated movie. So the report started going around the church. Did you know that the youth group leader went into an X-rated movie? And now things started to stir. You know how that happens? You get this false information, and it's amazing how fast it could spread. Before long, parents were outraged. How could he be teaching our children? They wanted him removed. Pastor and elders called him in. They explained the situation, and they removed him. He said, you know, I didn't go in to see an X-rated movie. I went in to use the phone because my car broke down. Too late. And the youth group was destroyed. Do you see how that can happen? How quickly? We need to be careful. And again, the tongue is not a very big organ, is it? It's pretty tiny. And yet the destruction it brings. And to illustrate that, how something so little can be powerful, is a bit that's placed in a horse's mouth. You think about it. I don't even know what horses weigh. I should have looked it up. But I'm sure they're over 1,000 pounds. They're huge animals. And you put a little bit in their mouth, and you have control of that animal. You can turn them any way you want. You can get them to stop. But you lose the bridle, and all of a sudden you have no control of that horse, and he's all over the place. And that's what happens with us. When we lose control, we end up all over the place. Very dangerous. James then speaks of a large ship that's controlled by a small rudder. And when you think of the size of a ship and you think of the size of a rudder, there's a huge difference. Example, the Queen Elizabeth. Its gross weight is 83,633 tons. And its rudder only weighs 140 tons. That's it. Less than 0.2% of the total weight of the ship. And yet, without the control of the rudder, the ship's out of control. And that's true in our lives. If we can't control our tongue, we're out of control. In fact, one writer made this point. He said, this means that both the bit and the rudder must be under the control of a strong hand. The expert horseman keeps the mighty power of his steed under control, and the experienced pilot courageously steers the ship through the storm. When Jesus Christ controls the tongue, then we need not fear saying the wrong things or even saying the right things in a wrong way. Absolutely. Who's controlling us? Is it our flesh or is it the Lord? If it's our flesh, then look out what's going to be spewed out of our mouth. If it's the Lord, it'll be the right thing. Well, then James talks about how a little fire can set a forest ablaze. Well, we've seen that. I mean, all we have to do, you know, is look out west to California and other states where it's really dry. And all of a sudden, you know, someone throws a cigarette or there's a lightning strike and the forest is ablaze. And think of the lives that are destroyed by the words that are spoken, like the illustration I gave you. We saw what Jim Jones did, the destruction of his words. But man, we can't forget that our words can be uplifting, encouraging. That's what they should be about. On April 21st, 1855, Edward Kimball went into a Boston shoe store, and you know what? He led Dwight L. Moody to Christ. Wow. The result? One of history's greatest evangelists, a man whose ministry still continues. And the tongue is like a bit and a rudder. It has the power to direct. And we need to be able to direct people in the right way. I mean, probably none of us have heard of Edward Kimball, but we've heard of D.L. Moody. But God knows who Edward Kimball is. And God knows who we are. Are we building people up? Are we encouraging them? Or even correcting them in the love of Christ to see their restoration, not their destruction? In Proverbs 10, and I'm just going to read a few different verses here about the tongue, the words we say. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lip is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. And the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. And I love what David says in Psalm 19:14. This is a great verse. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's how we should wake up each day, Lord. Put those words in my mouth that would honor you and bless people. Well, look at verse 7 here in James 3. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. You know, I don't know about you, but maybe it's just me. I'm amazed at how people can train wild animals to do the craziest things. These powerful animals. We can make bears ride bicycles. And I'm not talking about the Chicago bears. I'm talking about wild animals. We could get lions to do tricks. But, you know, we can't get the Detroit Lions to win a game. But, well, I guess if they're playing the Bears, maybe. I don't know. Elephants to stand up on their hind legs at our command. And I don't have anything for that one. I'll just let that one go. But look at how human nature can tame beastly nature. And yet the tongue, as small as it is, we have no control of it. It can't be tamed. David said in Psalm 141:3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Wow. And maybe David had a problem, right? Like we all do. Lord, set a guard over my mouth. Keep a watch over my lips. Don't let anything come out that's not going to be good. Because there's a lot I want to say. And I'm sure if I went around this room and asked you, you know, if you have regrets on anything you said, we'd all say, of course, more than I'd like to tell you. So this is a lesson for all of us. Someone told me this, and I thought it was really good. He said, it's faster to flush a toilet than to fill a toilet. Think about that one. It's true. It's not a proverb, but, you know, maybe it should be. We have no problem spitting things out of our mouth. But to build people up, to encourage them, is a really slow process for us. It's really hard. You know, Jesus, again, he rebuked the religious leaders a lot as they came against his disciples. Why? Because they didn't wash their hands according to the law. And in Matthew 15, verses 16 through 20, Jesus explains to them where real defilement comes from. He said to them, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Isn't that interesting? It's not what you're putting in your mouth that's going to defile you. It's what comes out of your mouth. It's not the food you eat. It's what you say. And it's a battle. Why? Because the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary to one another because we're in a battle and we don't always do what we want to do. The winner of that battle against the flesh and the spirit depends on who you surrender your life to. Is it going to be all about me? Am I going to be selfish? Is it going to be the flesh that comes out? Or is it going to be the Lord? And it's a battle. And we have to be careful. Walk in the Spirit, Paul said, and you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Romans 6, verses 12 through 14, he said, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. In other words, walk in the Spirit, surrender your life to God. You're not under the law, you're under grace. God has freely given you life. and just walk accordingly. It's interesting, a long time ago, during the time of John Wesley, a woman approached him and said that she knew what her talent was. She told John Wesley, "I think my talent from God is to speak my mind." Well, Wesley responded back by saying, "I don't think God would mind if you buried that talent." Wow, good words to say, right? We cannot control our tongue, but the Lord can. So who are you going to surrender to? We can try and do it on our own, but I'll tell you what. All you have to do is have someone push the right button and things will come out that you thought, oh my gosh, where did that come from? And I guarantee you, as the year 2021 comes up, you're going to have your buttons pushed more than ever before. Who are you going to surrender to? You see, are we going to let the flesh manifest itself and try and win this battle with sarcasm and putting people down? Or are we going to let the Lord give us the words to say to see that person come into the kingdom of God? That's really what it's about. Are we interested in the lost more than we are ourselves? Because I'll let you in on a little secret. As Christians, we're going to heaven. It's a done deal. But for them who don't know Christ, they're not. So it's not about me anymore. It's about them. So may the words that come out of my mouth be used to bring people into the kingdom of God, and not to win a battle, but to win that soul for Jesus Christ. You see the difference? It's the perspective we need to have as we approach this new year. And what a great perspective to have. And I guarantee you, buttons will be pushed this coming year, probably more so than ever, as we see wickedness continue to grow. Be careful. It's all about bringing people into the kingdom of God and shining brightly for Jesus, standing up for righteousness in love. If you study the life of Jesus, the only ones he really rebuked were the religious leaders. The common people, he didn't. He had compassion towards them. We don't rebuke the religious leaders who are teaching false doctrine. We do the people. We come against them. We got it wrong. We need to have compassion on them and rebuke those that are teaching false doctrine. And James is going to continue on. He's going to lay it all on the line here by showing us the hypocrisy of having a tongue that's out of control. It doesn't make sense. Look at verse 9 in James 3. "With it we bless our God and Father." Okay, I'm done now. Right? I mean, how do you argue anything more? We're blessing God with our tongue. How can I curse people? And that's what he's going to say. "And with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be so." Think about it again. We're saved, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, we're redeemed. Unfortunately, one of the last things for a Christian's body to be redeemed is his tongue, right? That's a hard one. And James hits it hard. He says, you know, how do you bless God with your speech? I mean, it's the highest calling, but how do you do that? And then you also curse your fellow man who was created in the image of God. It makes no sense. It shouldn't be. In 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 15, as David was collecting some of the provisions for the temple, listen to his blessing of God. He said, "Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, 'Blessed are you, Lord, God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. for we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. Oh, look at all the praising. And could you imagine then if all of a sudden David starts, you know, cursing man? That would be bad. And you think, well, look at David's life, okay? King Saul, the king of Israel, right? Tries to throw a spear at David twice. God, Samuel has anointed David to be king, and yet it's not time yet.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.